Well, this is a very different kind of Easter, isn't it? Seems very strange to look out at an empty sanctuary, although we know it's not really empty. It's so filled with love and fellowship and all of your good wishes. And even though this is a very different kind of Easter, I actually feel that Easter is more important and more relevant this year than ever. Because Easter reminds us to keep the faith. It gives us hope. And ironically, in this Easter Sunday, when we are separated and we are confined to our homes and really living in such an atmosphere of fear, ironically, this may be the closest experience we ever have to what the first Easter was like. You know, we forget that after Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples were both grief-stricken and terrified. They were afraid that if he had been killed for preaching the gospel, for going out and talking about the kingdom of God and all of these beautiful, empowering messages, that if he had been killed for that, that they would be too. And it's really quite fascinating to think about that particular time and what that was like for them. And here's how one religious scholar described it. And I don't have this individual's name. It actually appears anonymously, but here's what he says. The very first Easter was not in a crowded worship space with singing and praising. On the very first Easter, the disciples were locked in their houses. It was dangerous for them to come out. They were afraid. They wanted to believe the good news they heard from the women, that Jesus had risen, but it seemed too good to be true. They were living in a time of such despair and such fear. If they left their homes, their lives and the lives of their loved ones might be at risk. Could a miracle really have happened? Could love have really won out over death? Could this time of terror and fear really be coming to an end, alone in their homes? They dared to believe that hope was possible, that the long night was over and morning had broken, that God's love was the most powerful of all, even though it didn't seem quite real yet. Eventually, they were able to leave their homes when the fear and danger had subsided. They went around celebrating and spreading the good news that Jesus was risen and love was the most powerful force on the earth. Isn't that uncanny what that was like on the first Easter? When you compare it to where we are now, you know, all alone in our homes, we too are looking for signs of hope. And like the disciples, we too can dare to believe. We can dare to believe that there is a divine order behind all of this, that love will prevail, and that a new day will dawn. And we can look forward to that glorious time ahead when we're reunited, when there is celebration and joy. We can hold that in our hearts. We can believe in that and know it's coming. In the meantime, there are two very important lessons that Easter teaches us. And the first is that nothing is permanent, not even death. The lesson of Easter is, really, don't be fooled by appearances. The disciples thought that Jesus' crucifixion was the end of him. But then when the tomb was empty and Jesus appeared in another way, in another form, they had to reconsider that. And they came to understand that Jesus' physical death was not an ending, but it was a beginning. It was the beginning of the risen Christ, and a new type of relationship that they could have with their beloved teacher. And they also realized that life is eternal. This was the clear demonstration that life goes on and that death does not have the final word. Well, similarly in our own lives, whatever we're experiencing right now, whatever you're experiencing right now, does not have the final word. See, everything arises and passes. Everything is temporary. And moreover, we can learn from the experience of the disciples that at any given time, whatever we are perceiving is just one small part of the picture. That there is a much larger story playing out behind that. And we can know that it is a story that moves us to a higher good. You see, that is the work of faith, to know that a higher good will come of this. And we may not be able to see or conceive of it, but still we can know that it is there. We can put our faith in that. You might remember this line from, this is a good line to remember right now, from the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. You remember this line? Everything will be all right in the end, and if it isn't all right, it isn't the end. There is more to be revealed. Everything arises and passes. And this is really the second lesson that Easter teaches us. The death and resurrection go together, not just at Good Friday and Easter, but throughout our lives. It is really the cycle of life, death and rebirth, dying and rising. This is the path of personal transformation. Think about it for a moment. You have to die to an old way of being, to old thoughts and old beliefs, in order to be born into new ones, in order to rise into a higher you, to be your highest self. You must be able to die to your old identity, your old self, and grow into the new. We face this over and over in our lifetimes, whether it's moving from one stage of life to another, or whether it's the specific experiences that we have. Think about it. When you lose a loved one, when you go through the end of a relationship, when you lose your job or your financial status changes or some other aspect of your outer circumstances change. And I know a lot of people are going through that right now. And part of the real challenge of that is that as we let go of those things, it's a part of our identity that is dying. It's a part of our old identity that we're letting go of. And we must let go of it in order to be born anew. You know, a lot of times we don't really like that too much. You know, we'd rather not see a part of us die. We're kind of fond of that part of us, and that's a hard process. But die it must in order for the new to emerge. Remember what Richard Bach writes in his book, Illusions. He says, what is the end of the world? What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly. Caterpillar completes its cycle of life, and a butterfly emerges. And so we can remember that this is the cycle of life and move with it in order to give ourselves more peace as we go through our lives. You know, we don't know with this pandemic what will come of it. We don't know what will be different. We don't know how life's going to be. We don't know how it's going to feel. We don't know what we'll lose or gain. But we can know that we have within us this amazing strength and clarity and courage to let go of whatever needs to be released, even as we embrace the new. And I believe that as we begin to take this in, as we look ahead, that we will find not only are we stronger and wiser for what we've come through, but we are also more grateful and aware. Don't you believe that's true? Aren't you already feeling appreciation for so many things that we took for granted, like being together on Easter, for example? Imagine how it will feel when we're together again. Even just looking at each other's faces, not to mention a hug. Oh my gosh, imagine a hug. You see, all of this is leading us upward in consciousness. You know, Jesus said, what I have done, you shall do too, and greater things still. Jesus rose, and we shall rise. We shall rise. That is the true message of the resurrection, this upward journey into higher consciousness. The late minister, Unity minister, Eric Butterworth, says this so beautifully. He says, there is a deep and important meaning of the resurrection for you, right where you are. you are an overcomer. We downgrade Jesus and the great demonstration when we think of the Easter happening as a miracle of God instead of the revelation of the depth potential of man. Easter deals not only with the passing into death and return, but with the power to go beyond the end of things to a new opportunity and a new vision for overcoming. Man can rise above limited experiences and go forward through any dark hour to a new beginning. We will come through a dark hour to a new beginning. And the degree to which we are able to do so with a sense of ease and grace rather than pain and resistance is all dependent on our level of consciousness, how we're relating to the experience. It's all about how we look at it, indeed. And today, as we have a little bit more time for reflection these days, hopefully, kind of think about life, think about ourselves, our spiritual journey, it's an excellent time to think about where we are in consciousness, individually and as a society. So I'd like to just take a few moments to consider that, for each of us and all of us to think about. Where's our consciousness right now? And fortunately, Jesus gave us a roadmap for how to track the upward rise in consciousness. It's absolutely stunning. We've shared it here before. Pardon me while I go get the clicker. This is the rise in consciousness that Jesus imparted to Mary Magdalene, as described so magnificently in the Gospel of the Beloved Companion, the complete Gospel of Mary Magdalene. As you recall, Mary Magdalene is not only Jesus' beloved companion, she's his spiritual partner. She's basically his right-hand person in ministry. And after the resurrection, after she witnesses the resurrected Jesus, she goes back to the disciples. And they ask her, what do you know? What did you understand from the master that we didn't get? And so she shares with them this vision that is indeed the path for rising in consciousness into union with the divine. And so as we go over it quickly, I invite you to look at it and ask yourself, where am I right now? Maybe at multiple levels. You may be kind of bouncing around. And where's my growing edge? We start from the bottom up, because this vision is like a great tree. It's described as a great tree with 8 boughs, and each bough offers fruit and spiritual gifts if we overcome the challenge associated with it. And so the first bough of this great tree is love and compassion. To receive this gift, we must be free of all judgment and wrath. And then climbing upwards, the next bow is wisdom and understanding. We must be free of all ignorance and intolerance. It's so great to look at these and think about each of us personally, but also our society as a whole. Next, honor and humility. We must be free of all duplicity and arrogance. Get real. And next, strength and courage. As we come up in consciousness, we must be free of the weakness of the flesh and the illusion of our fears. We rise then into a whole new level of clarity and truth. At this level, we are able to overcome the deception of the ego. And then we arrive at the bow for power and healing. This is the power to heal your own soul, to soothe yourself, to know the truth, to know the truth about yourself. Then we rise into light and goodness. At this level, we are free of all darkness, all the illusions, all of the fears, all of the false thoughts that we've believed in the past. And finally, at the pinnacle, is grace and beauty of the Spirit. And here we feel the completion of the completions. At this apex, we experience true oneness, complete freedom, and all-encompassing love. As we look at this path, we can see where the challenges are, can't we? The challenges for humility and wisdom and understanding and even love and compassion to really and truly live that. But when we go through a difficult time, it gives us the opportunity to go deeper into each of these and to come out at a higher level. On our upward journey into awakening, let's remember that there are times of breakdown, but there are also times of breakthrough. There are times of heartbreak, but as we're so experiencing now, there are also times of heart opening. There are times of joy and sorrow, but there is also sorrow and loss, but there is also joy and celebration, that they go together. We can remember to not be fooled by appearances, that everything comes and goes, and to know that after every death, after every hardship, is a resurrection, and that we shall rise. And with that in mind, what I suggest going forward on this beautiful Easter Sunday is, in whatever way you possibly can, praise the good. Praise the good. Praise this day. Praise Jesus. Praise the resurrection. Praise this sense of hope and purpose and rising up together. The more we praise the good, the more it will be revealed. And with that in mind, I'd like to close with a poem that absolutely lifted me up so much this week, along the lines of praising the good. And it's an E.E. Cummings poem. You know, E.E. Cummings kind of jumps around, but you'll feel it. It's called, "I Thank You, God, for Most This Amazing." I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping, greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great, happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing human, merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. Happy Easter to all of you. Let's prepare now for meditation. I invite you to close your eyes wherever you are in this moment. Get comfortable in your seat. Take a deep breath in, filling your lungs with restorative, life-giving energy. Release and let go. The inhale and the exhale. The rising and the falling. On this most sacred and holy day, this Easter Sunday, we feel the grace of God enfolding us. We feel this reassurance carried through the ages that all is well and all will be well, that there is a continuing life force that moves through us, that sees us through every death and resurrection we experience in life. And it is eternal. I invite you in this moment to appreciate your own spiritual journey, the rises and the falls, the times that felt like a crucifixion that turned into the beginning of a whole new dimension of being. See it all as a gift. And appreciate the gift of right now, for a few moments in the silence. overcoming energy within us. We see beautiful new possibilities unfolding. The eyes of our eyes are opened. We go out into this world with gratitude and appreciation and the strength to carry on. Thank you, Jesus, for being our way shower, for being with us still today. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.